find out that I have said I felt the reason that the Soviet Union hadn't acted as co-chairman, taken down its due responsibilities as co-chairman of the Geneva Conference, was that it doubted it could control Hanoi and doubted that it could get communist China to come to a table, and therefore didn't want to be rebuked politically or diplomatically. But I said, that's just my view, and I don't think it does very much good for the Vice President of the United States to rebuke the Soviet Union. I said, if their policies along those lines, so should come from President Secretary of State. And vice presidents don't make policy, and I said I happen to support the policy very strongly that we have, and I'm happy to share in it.
What did Mike say?
Mike didn't say a damn thing. Mike was very polite, except to congratulate me and to thank me for coming. He was just a gentleman.
What did Dirksen say?
Dirksen, I asked him to come, but he wasn't feeling very good apparently today and didn't come. But Kiko was there, and he was very complimentary. I talked to Dirksen yesterday. He said he'd try to get in. I said, well, it meant a lot to me. Saltonstall was there, and he was in and out, and he did ask a question or two, but he was friendly. Pell was there, but didn't say anything. Church was there. Church was moderate. He's very, very concerned about whether or not we're really doing enough, however, to really encourage Hanoi to negotiate. And I said, well, I traced what we tried to do, and I said, now, I want to say to my esteemed colleagues, if you have anybody that you know that can get Hanoi to make a concession to even such as being willing to say that they'd like to talk. This would be very helpful. I said, we have a number of people telling the government of the United States concessions we ought to be making to Hanoi before we ever meet them, before we ever talk to them, maybe before we ever have a chance to sit at the conference table with them. I said, I don't really believe that this helps the situation. They asked whether or not we had any contacts. I said, well, now, of course. I said, Bundy, I asked Bundy to answer that. I said, you have the president's former National Security Council advisor here, and I said, here he is, and he'll answer those questions. Anything that was that sensitive, I brought Harriman into it, and Harriman was very helpful. His final statements were very good. We were there, and I said, here is the distinguished ambassador. Any questions you want to ask him? Well, that we'd like to... I said, I think I'd prefer to ask the vice president. I just grumbled around. God damn it, I tell you.
Well, do you think that Fulbright retains the respect or makes any points with his colleagues?
No, except the two or three that he has there that he already has tamed. I think he doesn't at all. Last night, Mr. President, he approached me here. After I'd have two or three good talks with him, he walked up to me and with a look in his eye that was most unusual, he said to me, why don't you settle this war? He said, I hold you accountable for the settlement of this struggle. I said, you're kidding. What are you talking about? I said, that's what we pay you for. And I looked at him and I said, now you joke. I said, Emil, and I said, thank you for all that faith and confidence. He said, I'm not joking. He said, I'm just not joking. He said, this is goddamn this war. He said, just get busy and settle it. And I just looked at him. I said, Bill, what's wrong with you? And he really was quite angry. I mean, I just sort of think this guy just talks about it and thinks about it so much that he's lost his sense of judgment, Mr. President.
Well, does anybody else express that viewpoint?
Yes, they do. I think that, matter of fact, John Sparkman spoke to me about that.
Very good friend of mine, who's a very wise man, told me that he thought he was off his rocker, and I just can't believe it, but he told me that, and I think it's very inappropriate for us to mention it to anybody but ourselves, but I had two things. One old friend of his told me today that he's going through a menopause. Another one said he thought that he was off his rocker because of Miss Fulbright being sick.
Yes, and that I think this has had a very serious effect on him. But I was, I believe that my appearance was salutary. I didn't enjoy it, I can honestly tell you.
How long were you there?
I was there 3 hours. And I feel that in those 3 hours, that about two-thirds of it was totally unnecessary. But I didn't get one inch. I tried to be reasonable.
Was Clark unreasonable?
Clark was totally unreasonable.
Gore?
Gore and Clark were the worst. I was Gore, Clark, and the chairman. The chairman actually was less unreasonable than the other two. This whole business of the Viet Cong, I said I just can't see that you have any doubts as to who controls and manages the Viet Cong through the National Liberation Front. I said, I think it's pretty obvious what it is. They said, well, now, but in the early days, I said, well, we're not talking about the early days. We didn't have anything to do with that. We're talking about the situation that we face and the kind of an apparatus that is operative in this area of Southeast Asia. And, I just can't believe that any senator, any congressman, or any informed citizen could have a shadow of doubt about this. My God, they got one.
Okay. Bye.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you.